May the mountains rise that spread the flowing seas abroad and built the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day. The moon shines full at his command, and all the stars obey. I sing the goodness of the Lord that filled the earth with food. He formed the creatures with his word and then pronounced them good. Lord, how thy wonders are displayed wherever I turn my eye. If I survey the ground I tread or gaze upon the sky, there's not a plant or flower below but makes thy glory known. And clouds arise and tempests blow by order from thy throne. While all that borrows life from thee is ever in thy care, and everywhere that man can be, thou God art present there.
Well, amen. It's good to see you. We have a lot, as you look around, we have a lot of folks that are traveling today. I don't know if it's kind of one of those end of the summer things or what, but pray for different ones that are traveling and out of town. But it's good that we can be together this morning and worship our great God and trust that He's going to meet with us in a beautiful and a powerful way. I'm going to put in a little commercial. In 2 weeks from yesterday will be the Metropolitan's, I think it might be the 8th. Annual ladies retreat, and if you haven't signed up to be here for that, ladies, please do that. There'll be congregations or ladies from congregations from far and wide, as far away as Temple, Wichita Falls, and beyond. And so it'd be a shame if our own ladies aren't here to enjoy that time. So please, you're certainly welcome. Sign up for that, and if you sign up today, there's no charge. Sign up next Sunday, there's still no charge. But that's the beauty of it. We do it as a ministry to these other churches and, of course, for our ladies. So please be mindful of that. Hey, it's good to see each and every one of you. We're thankful for the visitors that God's led our way today. And again, please, church family, get around and welcome our visitors while we welcome each other right now. Thank you.
If you'll return back to your seats, let's grab our hymn books again. Let's turn to 264. We'll sing the first and last.
'Tis the grandest theme through the ages run. 'Tis the grandest theme for a mortal tongue. 'Tis the grandest theme that the world e'er sung. Our God is able to deliver thee. He's able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Oh, my sin of rest, go to him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee. 'Tis the grandest theme, let the tidings roll to the guilty heart, to the sinful soul. Look to God in faith, he will make thee whole. Our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Oh, my sin of rest, go to him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee.
You can be seated. Turn our hymn books to 485.
If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Let's sing the last.
Just up in glory land will live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. Their songs of loudest praise drift back from heaven's shore. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
You can be seated.
Men, please come forward for the offering. Good morning, Metropolitan Baptist Church. Visitors, it's good to have you. Thank you for coming to Metropolitan. Announcements, ladies, meeting after this morning's services. Ms. Marsha wants to talk about the conference. Project Nativity, volunteers, inserts, please turn in to Brother John Davison. Those of you that received them inserts last Sunday, Brother John needs them. You know, it's a blessing, this Project Nativity. As I've been going out knocking on some doors, I've ran into a couple of people that remember that, and it's a blessing to our community, but not only to our community, but here too at Metropolitan. And everyone is going to be needed, from my understanding. It's my first one. But we have the Ladies Fellowship on the 18th in Pastor's Class. September the 22nd, we're going to have the work day at 9 a.m., so everybody will be needed there too. Men's Breakfast on the 10th of October. And we have the Ladies Conference. And Friday night, fellowship on the 12th of October. Please, everyone is welcome. Bring your own snacks. And the Rahim family's new directory insert is available at the Welcome Center. Let's pray. Most gracious and heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord, we thank you for the privilege that we get to serve you here at Metropolitan. And we thank you for our pastor. We pray that you be with them, Lord. And Father, lead them. We pray for those that are in attendance, that you speak to all of our hearts, Father God, and that we get hear from you today, Lord. We pray for the offering and pray that you bless it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You ask me why.
why I'm happy. I'll tell you why. Always been a sinner. Shout out loud, I'm saved, I'm redeemed, I'm born again and a child of the King. Jesus paid the price and my sins are forgiven, burdens are lifted, I'm on the way to heaven. Satan thought he had me, well, I thought so too. He kept me from hearing what I should be do. Life had no purpose, I thought my end had come. Then a stranger told me what Jesus Christ had done. I'm saved, I'm redeemed, I'm born again and a child.
Amen. We're turning this morning to Psalm 68. Psalm 68. Grateful and thankful. I'm on my way to heaven. It's okay to be excited about that. Amen. If you find your place in 68 Psalm, please stand with me in reverence to the good word of God. Read just two verses, in verses 19 and 20, Psalm 68. Very simple. I like this. It says, "Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. He that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God the Lord belong the issues." Notice, from death. Father, we thank you. We're grateful for your good mercy to us. Thank you, Father, that we can rejoice in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We can rejoice in the Lord, our salvation. And Father, I pray that you'd give clarity to the preacher this morning. Give every one of us ears to hear what you would have said. Lord, I pray you'd arrest and focus our attention upon you and upon your word. Thank you, Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name for what you are doing and are going to do in the service today. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Of course, you may be seated. Just a simple question. Can you rejoice in the God of your salvation? Looking at these two verses from the 68th Psalm. Listen to them again. Look at this. Blessed be the Lord. Indeed, we want to extol and lift up His name. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth thee with benefits. The idea is that He's continually doing for us, even the God of our salvation. He's the one who rescued us from the consequences and the bondages of sin. Verse 20 said, He, this great God, He that is our God, is the God of salvation. And unto God the Lord. You think David's wanting to magnify Him? Indeed. In unto the God the Lord belong the issues from death. The idea of issuing from or escaping from death. He is the one who delivers us, indeed. Can you rejoice today in the God of salvation? Our God of salvation. As you're here this morning, do you have that heart's desire to exalt Him? There's a lot of praise to go around in these days. Unfortunately, it's not all to have to do with praising the God of our salvation. I'm so thankful. I am ever so thankful and humbled today that I can declare that He is the God of my salvation. He's the God of my salvation. Without Him, beloved, oh my, without Him I was hopelessly lost in sin. Without Him, I was helpless indeed to save myself. Without Him, I could do nothing to deliver myself or to find forgiveness. Without Him, we could do nothing. And beloved, truly, without Him, now, the world would argue with this because they find truth, they find a reason for existence and so many other things. But I want to declare that without Him, there was really no reason, no rhyme to existence. But, aren't you thankful that's not the end of the story? But, in Christ Jesus, there is salvation. In Jesus Christ, there is life. And, oh my, some 40-some odd years ago, Jesus gave true meaning to my life. Huh? We want to rejoice today in the Lord, my salvation. That Old Testament word in the Psalm here that's translated salvation means, of course, the idea of salvation, but it also carries the idea of deliverance or rescue. And we certainly do not want to minimize the idea of our salvation. He is our salvation. Jesus Christ rescues the believer from the destruction of sin. He delivers from that bondage that death holds over us. Jesus Christ saves those from a godless eternity. Oh my. I want to take a little time this morning to rejoice in this God of our salvation. It's not a complicated message at all. It couldn't be too complicated if I'm preaching it. But He is the God of our salvation. I want us to look first at the person of our salvation. He is the Son of God. The person of our salvation is the Son of God. In our Sunday school class, we mentioned that very familiar verse from John chapter 1 in verse 1, where it simply declares that in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And I know I do this, I repeat this all the time. Whatever the JWs want to say, and however they want to turn that around, the description of this verse from the Greek simply says that last phrase, God was the Word. No question about it. We drift on down in that first chapter of John chapter 1. And we find out a little bit more about this one called the Word. There it says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And John declares with exaltation, with jubilation, I would believe. He says, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father. And it's almost as if He's saying, by the way, full of grace and truth. Who was this one? None other than the Son of God. None other than God's only begotten Son. He is that person of our salvation. The Apostle Paul goes on to explain that a little bit more in Romans chapter 5. And we come to verse 10 there. And it says this, for if, when we were enemies... Now, are you anybody's enemy? I hope not. But Paul declares that you and I, without Christ, before we were saved, were the enemies of God. Let me read that again. It says, for if when we were enemies, aren't you thankful? He describes that as past tense. That when you receive Christ as your Savior, it's as if we ran up the white flag and surrendered. The war was over. God, we belong to You. When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. His Son is the person of our salvation. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. The idea of that word reconciled, you know what it is. You husbands know what it is when you need to be reconciled with your wife. You put your proverbial foot in your mouth, and now you need to make things right. Well, beloved, we have been made right with God through the sacrifice of His Son. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the person of our salvation, is He that has reconciled or made us right. In order to be made right, what's that mean? There was a time when we were wrong. There was a time when we were wrong. But Jesus Christ made us right with Him. There's no question. There's no question that Jesus Christ is the person of salvation. We'll look a little bit more at that as we go along. But the Bible declares, beyond a doubt, that Jesus is God. That Jesus is God. And by the way, heaven and earth knew that when He walked this earth planet. Heaven and earth confessed that Jesus was God. Satan knew it. Satan knew it in Matthew chapter 4. In that fourth chapter, we have him taking the Lord Jesus Christ out in the wilderness for that time of temptation. But in Matthew chapter 4, verse 3, it says this, describing Satan as the tempter. It says, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Satan knew he was God. The idea was it was a challenge. If you're the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. Tempting the Lord Jesus Christ in that. A little later on in verse 6, again, the tempter saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he, speaking of God the Father, shall not give his angels, or excuse me, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest thou at any time dash thy foot against the stone. Satan understood that the angels had charge to do for the bidding of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he's doing these challenges, these temptations against our Savior. But he withstood them all. He withstood them all. Knowing that Jesus was the Son of God. Satan tried, he tempted to tempt him into using his power in a needless way. But again, our Savior endured every one of them. Not only Satan knew that he was God, it's interesting that the demons knew he was God. Knew who he was. Again, in Matthew in chapter 8, in verse 29, we read, listen to this. And behold, they cried out, those demons possessing a dear soul. They cried out saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? They knew who he was. Thou Son of God, art thou come hither to torment us before the time? There was no question that even the demons knew who Jesus was. Wow. But not only Satan and the demons, but men along the way acknowledged who he was. Just a couple. Certainly his followers, they acknowledged that he was the Son of God. They acknowledged that he was God. In Matthew chapter 14, we have them there, the disciples, along with the Lord Jesus Christ, out on the Sea of Galilee. And as the sea blew up in a storm, if you're mindful, they awoke Jesus. And with a word, he calmed the storm. And in the 33rd verse, it says, and then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Huh? They knew who he was. Along the way, they were convinced. They acknowledged him as the Son of God. But it's interesting that even some lost folks acknowledged that he was God. There's Jesus hung between heaven and earth on that cruel, ugly Roman cross. In Matthew chapter 27, in verse 54, the very man that was in charge of his crucifixion acknowledged who he was. In that 54th verse, it says, now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, truly, this was the Son of God. Yes. Satan, demons of hell, and men that walked this earth planet with him acknowledged that he was the Son of God. But acknowledging that, we also see that salvation then is of God. Salvation is in the Son of God. Folks, I just want to rejoice in Jesus today. Huh? Are you thankful you're saved? Huh? I don't know who it was that I still don't know. It's been years ago. Come in, and here's that sign on my desk, that block of wood. I'd said, I don't know how many times, it's good to be saved. Well, somebody brought that little sign in, and with it's good to be saved on it. Well, it's on my desk every day. It's good to be saved. Don't ever forget it. Huh? It's good to be saved. It's good to know Jesus. And salvation is in the Son of God. Jesus. Jesus is the answer, beloved. We hear that all the time. Don't we? Oh, Jesus is the answer. Jesus, beloved, is the answer to the need of every human heart. Whether or not every human heart acknowledges that or not, he's the answer. He alone, beloved, can fill that heart vacuum that is there by creation. As God created us to have a relationship with Him, He created us with that need within us. And you can call it a vacuum, call it what you want.
But there's only one that can fill that. And it's Jesus Christ. He that is the God of our salvation. We understand, hopefully, that life comes through faith in the Son of God. Stick with me in this. Life comes through faith in the Son of God. Paul wrote, and it may well be my favorite verse in all the Bible. That's hard for me to say because there's so much, huh? But maybe my favorite verse in all of God's Word, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. Not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It doesn't get any better, beloved. By grace. Not by any favor of our own. Not by any merit of our own. No. But by grace are you saved through faith. Through trusting Jesus Christ. Him. And Him alone. And indeed, we understand, if you're saved this morning, you understand it wasn't anything you did, not of yourselves. You think you know the old saying, if you think you're going to save yourself, you've got more to do than you can do. No. It's the gift of God. So it goes on, not of works, lest any man should boast. What do we have to boast in? Nothing but Jesus. Probably my favorite verse in all the Word of God. But what is that faith to be in? By grace are you saved through faith. What is that faith to be in? I mean, faith, I mean, what's the word mean? You know, we throw around words all the time in our church houses. What does it mean? It means to trust. It means to believe. We were talking in Sunday school. You've come too late to tell me any difference, folk. I believe what this book says. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. It's the very breath of God. All Scripture, every bit, and I believe it. I have faith in what this book says. I trust it. Faith. Believe. Trust, huh? What is it that we have that faith in? Speaking to that very thing recorded in the Gospel of John. John writes in chapter 20 and verse 31 of John's Gospel. He says, but these things are written. What's that? His Gospel. He says, I've recorded these things. But these things are written that, so that, in order that, it, that ye might believe, that you trust, that you would have faith in, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. What's John's desire? Was as long as he penned his gospel? So that you and I, some 2,000 years later, as we read what He penned for us, that God and the Holy Spirit would work in our hearts and do that special work of His grace. I believe it! Amen. These things are written. You might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, ye might have life through His name. He's the person of salvation, beloved. Life comes through faith in the Son of God. Very important verse early in John's Gospel, in the first chapter, in the 12th verse, it says, but as many as received Him, as many as, have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? But as many as received Him, to them, to those ones that have received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Hallelujah, as my preacher in Georgia used to say. Even to them that believe on His name. Hey, What's that faith in? It's in Jesus. I believe what Jesus did. I trust that what Jesus did was sufficient to provide my salvation. Jesus in life. Jesus gives life. Wow. Life comes through faith in the Son of God. And beloved, our message is the Son of God. Our message is the Son of God. The Apostle Paul, oh my, the prototype for preachers, the prototype for missionaries. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23, Paul unequivocally declared, "But we preach Christ." "But we preach Christ crucified." Oh my. Jesus isn't just our message, but the saving work of Jesus is our message. Christ crucified. He laid down His life, beloved, for you and for me. Our message is the Son of God. In his second letter to the Corinthians, in chapter 1 and verse 9, Paul writes this. Notice who he calls Him. "For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us." What was our message when we were with you? Jesus. Jesus. He says, "Who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and yea, but in Him was yea." What's Paul saying? Jesus is our message. Beginning and end. Jesus is our message. And beloved, this preacher, this church, has no other message. Amen. We're not here preaching, oh my. We're certainly not here preaching Jim Turner. We're not here to preach Metropolitan Baptist Church at some organization. We're here to preach Jesus. Amen. We're here to declare Him. We have no other message. And by the way, we need no other message. We need no other message. He is all that we need. He's everything that we need. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, He said, but by me. He's our message. He's our message. It's not over yet. Yes, life comes through faith in the Son of God, and our message is the Son of God. And the hope of our salvation is the Son of God. The hope of our salvation is the Son of God. Familiar passage. John's first letter. In 1 John chapter 5. Very familiar verses. Many times it's one of the earlier passages that we memorize because it deals with this matter of the assurance or the confidence of our salvation. Now listen to these words. In 1 John chapter 5, we pick up there in verse 11. Notice how John words this. He says, "And this is the record." When you think of a record, now I'm not talking about, well, these young ones wouldn't even know what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about a 33 and a third or a 45. You know what I'm talking about, Daniel? He has no clue. He has no clue what those old vinyl records. We're not talking about that kind of record. John is talking about the record. This is recorded. This is factual. And this is the record. That God, here it is, that God hath given to us eternal life. John has written, this is the record. God, the God of glory, has given us eternal life. But it doesn't stop there. He goes on and he says, "And this life is in His Son," the Son of God. His life is in His Son. Then he makes this statement. Listen. He that hath the Son hath life. I asked a moment ago if you received Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, guess what? You have this life. You're alive. Well, say, preacher, I know I'm alive. I was able to take in nourishment this morning. I got crawled out of the bed. No, we're not talking about physical life. We're talking about eternal life. We're talking about spiritual life. Huh? He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. Two groups there, right? Speaks of two different groups of people. On the one hand, it's those that have the Son. And what about those ones that have the Son? They have what? Life. But then John contrasts those who have not the Son. Those who have not received Jesus Christ as their Savior. They have not life. They do not have life. Very simple, isn't it? Jesus said again, what did He say in John 14, verse 6? I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the life. He that hath the Son hath life. Do you believe the Bible?
Yes, sir.
Not, beloved, I'm just trying. There may be someone here within these walls that struggles with this and battles with that assurance, that confidence that they're saved, that they know they're saved. Have you received the Son of God? Do you know Christ liveth in you? And you have eternal life. You have life. What do we talk about? Faith. Resting our faith in Jesus Christ. In what God says. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now listen to this, the next verse, verse 13. These things have I written. This is an echo of what He said at the beginning in verse 11. And this is the record. Verse 13, He says, these things have I written unto you. Unto you. That believe on the name of the Son of God. Every one of you in this room that have placed your faith, your trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're not resting in your good works. You're not resting in baptism. You're not resting in your church. You're resting in Jesus for your salvation. These things I've written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may what? Know. That you may know. Now the idea of that word, know, has the meaning of understand. You know, there's some things I know, but there's also some things that I know that I don't understand. I know some things about God. So we was talking in Sunday school, but there's a whole lot about God I don't know or understand. But John pens these words to give us an assurance, to give us a confidence. He says, these things, again, have I written unto you that what? Believe. That believe on the name of the Son of God. That you may know, that you may understand, that ye might have, that you may be. Doesn't say that, does it? That you may know that ye have eternal life. That you have eternal life. And in that then, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Huh? As John penned those words under the inspiration and direction of the Holy Spirit, recorded for us. so that you and I, some 2,000 years later, could take up this book and read these words and have that same assurance that John desired his first readers to have. He wanted them to know. Folks, now many times when you write a letter trying to let folks know something, right? You're writing to them because you want them to know some things. Well, John wrote this letter so that you and I know something. Is that right, Ricky? He's agreeing with me. Huh? He wanted us to know that if you have placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior from sin, that you have. It's not might have. It's not could have. No, that you have eternal life. Amen. Now, what's that mean? Again, I don't want to repeat myself. It's not a someday salvation. This isn't a hope-so salvation. Our salvation rests. Now listen, your and my salvation that have put our faith, our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I that have believed on His name, the saving name of the Lord Jesus Christ, He's given us that you and I could rest today in the knowledge that I'm saved and have eternal life in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Dear ones, now listen to this. Gets confused sometimes because we turn salvation into a do this, do that. Salvation is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not in some man-made plan or program if you do this or don't do that. It's in trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. As the one, and beloved, the only one that can deliver you from your sin. Oh my. Because of that this morning, there's great peace that can be known. That assurance that can be held. That confidence. And forgive me, I know some might make fun of this. That confidence that we can cling to. So often in this world we'll hear, oh, those Christians, they've got to have their God to cling to. Well, you know what? They are absolutely right. I'm thankful that there's a God in glory. I'm thankful for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm thankful for the God that spoke and this universe came into existence. I'm thankful that this morning, as we would look into this divine book, we can have, by faith, peace. Peace. Y'all know I'm kind of a news junkie, but how in the world do people watch the news and not lose their minds? It's a crazy world we're living in. It's chaos on every side. The world, oh my, it's going nuts. But you and I can have peace all the way through it. You and I can smile when the world's pulling its hair out. When they're running to and fro trying to figure out what are we going to do. You've done what you need to do by faith. Receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. I'm so thankful for that beautiful little chorus. Christ liveth in me. Oh, what a salvation this. That Christ liveth in me. There's hope, isn't it? the God of our salvation. Let's stand together, beloved. We didn't get through all the message today, but we got too far to go and not enough time to get there. We'll have it again. Father, we bow before You. And Lord, I just want to rejoice in Jesus. I want to exalt and magnify the lovely name of our Savior. What a beautiful name it is. Jesus, Jehovah's salvation. And Lord, as we pause, we've heard from Your Word. We've read these words into our ears. And Lord, I'm praying that around this room, every individual that knows the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior might rejoice. Rejoice in Him. That indeed we would lift up that lovely name. Give Him glory. Give Him honor. Give Him praise. Lord, I'm asking You to enlarge my little brain. Enlarge the capacity of my heart to love You more. Lord, I'm praying that You might even put words in our mouth that would rightly honor You. But Lord, I'm also praying for anyone that might be within these walls today that is yet without Christ. Lord, I don't know what the need might be. I don't know what's going on in hearts across this room, lives around this room. Please, Lord, forgive me where my failures are to lift You up properly. But Lord, would You exalt Yourself in our midst today? If there's even one in this room that does not yet know Jesus, might they fall in love with You today? Might they call out to the One who can deliver them from sin? Might they, Father, oh God, please, as You'd help them, call upon that One who can save them and give them eternal life. Lord, thank You. Thank You, Lord, in Jesus' beautiful name. Amen. Amen. Brother John.
Page 337.
As we sing, beloved, can you praise the God of your salvation? If you're saved, you surely can. You surely ought to be able to. If you're not saved, that can change right now. The Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jim Turner didn't say that. God did. Call out to Him. You can call out the same way as that publican did in the temple. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus declared that man went to his house justified, made right with God. Do you need Jesus? Call out to Him today. Christian, give Him glory. The God of your salvation. Let's sing.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. While we do His good will, not a sigh nor a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
We're going to sing just another verse, but preach a message that's so clearly a salvation message today. It's a salvation message, but also a message to make us that are saved fall all the more in love with Jesus. What a wonderful God He is. What a wonderful Savior He is. So thankful. Hopefully you can say the same thing. I'm so thankful for the day that Jesus intervened in my life. I'm thankful for the day, can I say it this way, that Jesus got in the way. Got between me and my sin. Saved my wretched soul. I rejoice in my salvation. Beloved, please, please, if you're saved, rejoice. Thank God for it. And again, if you're not saved, these altars are open. They're here for you. We'll do our very best to point you straight to Jesus. We'll sing another verse.
Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
By the way, it's good to be saved. Amen. Brother John, come.
Let's be dismissed with our chorus, Mansion Over the Hilltop.
I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we will never more
best.